Zechariah 4. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord. Zechariah 4, chapter 6. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Now, do you remember who Zerubbabel was? He was there was the first temple, which was Solomon's temple, and the second temple was restored after it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel's temple, and then Herod's temple. Three temples. Zerubbabel, he was the one who the Lord spoke to concerning the building of the temple. And so the Zerubbabel, that spirit, still has to be in us because we are now the living stones of the temple. And it's only by our obedience, by our entering. Do you understand? You could conceive of this stone guy. And it's a stone that can run around and it's got legs and walks and does stuff. And he runs all over and does little stone stuff. Marries and has little stone kids. Builds little wood houses. So anyway, and the stone runs around and says, What is my purpose in life? What am I going to do about the mortgage? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about my job? All of a sudden, the stone gets totally discombobulated. So he runs over and he says, Wait a minute, if I just go over here and rest and stand still in my function, I don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Boom. So the stone at rest is the one who's at his place in the temple. And you just forget it. And you just live. Now, that's the secret of life in 2 seconds.
Yeah, we think if we rest, we rest in the wrong place, and we're like out here, you know, we just stop and rest. We're like, well, wait, I've got to find my place back, you know? There's maybe like the stone sitting up there in the field.
No, stone can
it's
be...
It's like wherever you rest, you are in the...
Because that's in Jerusalem.
It's pretty wild.
Do you understand the only reason this body exists in that context, in this parable? Is because God showed me that I should rest. That I should quit. You think you got problems? I had as much as you do, as much as you did the first time, plus 100,000 more. And I said, they're no longer my business. I rest. I take my hands off myself.
I know, but I mean, you can't say, well, God will save me. This new man.
God doesn't care. Holy rats. Stuff about the little house or the little stuff. I lost everything. But that's the only reason we exist. Now, do you have the courage to be weak? That's the only question. You have the courage to step out of the squirrel cage. Because it says this. Zerubbabel is the archetypal rock who was running around and went and rested. Boom. He says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I have seen the vanity of my self-effort. I have seen the total stupidity of leaning on my own arm of understanding. And now I say, Father, forgive me. And I enter into the rest. You know what the greatest reason for not entering into the rest is? Well, Ollie, that's easy for you to say because you don't have a wife or kids. Everybody.
Everybody.
No, I don't have a wife or kids. I've got 100. Don't you think that if something, the idea that can't live by faith because what about my wife and children? That's the biggest form of apostasy there is in the universe, and it's the biggest lie. He's either real or he isn't. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When for a brief moment in time you can say that, you can recognize his life, his way, his truth might be best. And the Bible calls that being born again. For the last month, we've spent a great deal of time talking about one particular subject. Anybody know what it is?
Surrender.
Surrender. The renewal of our minds never once come through the power of thought. You can't improve your mind by thinking about it.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever taken any self-help courses?
Read a book or two.
Anybody ever read, like, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich?
But it is really wild that there's the rest we're talking about, what we've read, and then the rest that we try to make for ourselves, which is just no way.
No,
you know, you feel that moment, in that moment, you either run around trying to get a rest, find a rest somewhere, or con yourself into thinking like, okay, I got it, I got all the pieces, I'm resting now. You know, and then everything, yeah, breaks up.
You just got the plates all wheeling up there on stairs.
Do you understand that from God's perspective, to enter into the rest, it's available at every moment in time, throughout time. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the circumstances around you. It doesn't matter if there are 4,000 Egyptians after you on their horses, or it doesn't matter if there's 12,000 Indians surrounding you, or it doesn't matter if there's police with guns drawn or crooks with guns drawn, or you got a gun in your mouth. You simply surrender by saying, Father, I accept my death. And therein is peace. And it, all of a sudden, the things that you thought were, everything that those guys out there were after, they may be successful at getting it. It doesn't matter. That's no longer an issue, because the issue is you have entered a new existence, a place, an existence in which nothing in the universe can touch you, because you've gone through the veil and you've entered into the Holy of Holies now. And faith demands that you live there. Otherwise, you're out. We've talked about this before, but on that mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, is real safe and real protected. And the way you get off the mercy seat is, number one, by, I got an idea. Number two, I got a plan. Number three, self-justified. Number four, there's somebody I can't forgive. Number five, I'm worried about tomorrow. Number six, I got a problem. Anyway, all those things, they're the evil ones attempt to draw you off the mercy seat. Well, the problem when you leave the mercy seat is, it's really dangerous. That's why Paul says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Now, by the activity of God in us, as we become quiet, totally silent in the temple, all of a sudden we open our eyes and we see this incredible activity going on in us. We see the hand of God moving in a thousand ways, but we're at rest. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds centered in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. For those of you who don't know it, this place is a vortex. All the wildest things happen here every day that you can't believe it. Harry believes, because Harry sees it, but Harry's probably the only one that sees it.
It's still hard to believe. It's like being in a movie. It's like that Schwarzenegger movie where the kid gets into the movie. It's like being in the movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like watching it after this wild action movie and then stepping in through the screen into the movie. It's hard to believe.
Where the bullets are real.
Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. The problem is, it doesn't meet what you think it's supposed to look like.
But not only that, the real hinge is the asking.
Right.
It's, just ask.
Asking and leaving it. What are you dealing with right now? What is concerning you? What are you dealing with right now? What challenge is confronting you? Bring it to the surface. Don't put it in a dungeon. Don't put it down in a drawer. Don't put it in that drawer with all those dirty socks or clean socks. This is bothering me. He is bothering me. This is confronting me. All you need to know is that there's an answer. And the answer is by definition external to you. If you still think the answer is internal to you, then you're pagan.
You're looking at the things that are seen.
I keep hearing what we read the other night in Psalm 38, the Lord perfected that which pertained to me. I keep hearing it over and over and over. God's doing it.
The natural, the Gentile mind sees this thing, whatever it is, as a problem that has to be dealt with. The child that's still under the blood in Egypt, some of the time sees it as a challenge, as a problem, but some of the time he sees it as a challenge for God, but there's always duality. The adolescent, the believer in the wilderness, he just wants to yell, "Quarter you! I don't like this! I'm helpless. I don't have any options. Get out of my face. I don't have anything to do with you." The young man who's entered into the promised land sees that thing, that situation confronting him. Same exact situation. He sees that as an opportunity. And if you're sitting on the mercy seat, you see the same exact situation as a privilege. So it goes from crisis to problem to challenge to confusion to an opportunity to a privilege. exact same situation. It's never circumstances that try the hearts of men. It's the judgments you make about the circumstances. Is that understood? Whatever and whomever you're dealing with, or whatever the situation is, from a spiritual standpoint, you're dealing with an angel unawares.
An angel that what?
You're not aware of it. It's an angel, but you're not aware of it. If something comes, we are to deal with it instantly, at that instant. If you evade it, or avoid it, or run away, it will always come back. Except the next time it comes back, you'll have seven buddies with them. Remember, in Christ, you are capable of handling every possible situation that comes to you. In love, in peace, in joy, and in rest. Period. Great is His power in you. It's not negotiable. It's only to be seen. Because that is the instant resurrection. The resurrection is always and ever present. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we already have the petitions that we desired of Him. It's an incredible statement. Now, when something comes up, what do you do? Well, you do the Gentile thing. It's normal. Just do the pagan thing, the human thing. Oh my God, this has happened to me again. What am I going to do? Oh my God. We come apart. And all of our energy flows to the problem. And so what we are doing is we are pumping up the problem. We're giving it life. Can you hear me?
Making it strong.
Yep.
It's becoming stronger and stronger. As more we become more and more concerned with it, we give it life. In the same way that God breathed life into Adam, we breathe life into these idols. Now, these are really stupid idols. These are idols that are totally and completely fear-based idols. They're idols that demand something of you, but you get nothing from them.
No, a successful outcome is you don't get anything.
The successful outcome is you get nothing. If it doesn't work right, you're going to get your quarter kicked. Best case is...
the watermelon quarter.
I wasn't had nothing. That was her.
It's a watermelon dollar.
That's right. Yeah.
We come apart, and our energy flows into that thing that we give our life. We lay down our life for the sake of that. Right. Can you hear that?
So our life is the rest.
Hmm?
Our life is the rest. So we lay. So we trade that. We give that up for.
Yeah.
Getting up and doing whatever stuff we're doing to the idol.
And you're nailing Christ on the cross.
Now, whatever comes up, whatever you're dealing with, move your mind away from it as soon as possible, instantly. Move away from your consciousness. Move it away. You create a vacuum. So then it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
You can't think yourself there. You can only repent yourself there.
Yeah.
Because you think yourself there, you're just playing a mind game with yourself. Oh, I'm not gonna worry about this. God is all in. No, that's fine. I still feel like hell.
Then we start using the little spiritual stuff we've learned as mantras.
Yeah.
I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. All problems stem from the fact that we believe we cannot handle a situation. What happens then, our prayers become begging or pagan, deal making.
You get me out of this, I'll give you
really manipulating God.
We make God, we make ourselves the puppet master. No. We've got to move away from these as soon as possible. Move out. Create the vacuum. Empty yourself. Become poor. Take a step. Take a few steps back from it. If it's something that involves you physically or mentally, take many, many, many steps away from it in your mind. See yourself as simply an observer. You have to play those kind of mental games. I hadn't thought about this for a long time because I hadn't done this for a long time. But when I first was a believer for several years, that's the only way I could deal with things. I had to play a game in myself. I had to trick myself so that I was back here and I was looking at what happened as an observer in my life.
Why did you do that?
Because otherwise I was doing the same thing everybody else does. I'm worshiping the problem. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Be still and know that I am God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Nothing can then disturb the serenity of your soul. Nothing. Nothing can disturb the peace of God. It is the man, the one that created the universe and raised Christ from the dead, is at rest and at work within you. And you know it. And that's called faith. Amen? This is really, I mean, Perry is right. This is the only reason he ever gets in any trouble. He puts himself back here. Back here always.
What's in? It's real hard to see. Once you're in the cesspool, it's real hard to see anything but what's in the cesspool.
By moving away from the problem, you become the solution. As always in God's mind, he was waiting simply for this to transpire. So it's a total different dimension. You are then transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is how you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The secret is to create the vacuum. Amen.
Amen.
Take a big breath.